Boy, I'd like to see what happens between closed doors in that relationship. I heard what you said to her. Anyway. But people will defend their integrity to the death. As Proverbs said, every man does right in his own eyes. Some people refuse to admit. And it, to me, it's uncanny. I mean, like, be real, man. We all fall short. Man, never told a lie, never hated anybody, never even got mad without a reason. But you know, that's why I love the Holy Spirit. Because Scripture says in 1 Corinthians that through the gift of prophecy, the Holy Spirit can reveal the secrets of someone's heart. And if he comes in and all prophesy, the secrets of his heart are revealed and he falls on his face and admits that God is with you of a truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit can lay bare the secrets of the soul and bring conviction. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's his job description. He came to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And so in those situations, it can be good to pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal the truth in that person. And it may not, I mean, you know, we all fall short in so many ways. I mean, not that he's going to say, well, yeah, okay, I really did lie. I really did steal something. I really did, you know, not honor my mom and dad. I really did break the Sabbath one day. Something deeper than that. The Holy Spirit can go into those hidden places of the heart. He can go where the skeletons are, if you know what I'm talking about. Holy Spirit's a good skeleton finder. My God can dig up some skeletons. Valley of dry bones, he knows all where all the bones are. If you have a skeleton in your closet, if you have done something shameful, that when you look back at it, you're ashamed that you ever could do such a thing. It just amazes you how you could be so selfish, how you could be so carnal. And I think we all, it's safe to say we all have something in our life that we feel ashamed of, that we would not want put out on the evening news. Can you imagine? The Holy Spirit has a way of throwing open that door and putting his finger on that one thing. He doesn't have to identify every sin in your life. He can put his finger on that one thing. And that one thing can bring a mighty man to his knees in conviction. Or it can harden a heart like stone. And it's very interesting because that's exactly what happens here. Jesus, prophet that he is, puts his finger right on the pulse of this man's spiritual life. And he says to the man, one thing you lack. One thing. I mean, he could have brought out the list, you know, just unrolled this big old, you know, roll and said, okay, May 13th last year, you lied 3 times, you dishonored your mom and dad 7 times, you know, whatever, you coveted this, you coveted that, the other thing. He says, one thing, let me boil it down. Let me distill it for you. One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. One thing. One thing. Now, we need to realize, you know, again, it's easy to get all, you know, see this guy as being arrogant. It's easy to break bad on this guy. We got to see, this is really a tender moment. This is a very tender moment. Jesus looked at him, and what did he do? Loved him. Jesus wants this guy to get it. He loves him. He's not beating him up. He's not, you know, throwing stuff at him. He says one thing. I hear your heart. I know you're desperate. I saw you run to catch up. But one thing you lack, if you really want to be right, if you really want to seal the deal, one thing you lack, sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and follow me. Sell the stuff. You don't own it. It owns you. What owns you? When you look at this man, his stuff owned him. He had great possessions. You know, that's the weird thing. The more you have, you know, sometimes we think, well, if I had a lot, I would really be a giving person. I can't really afford to give very much. If I had a lot, I'd be good. The weird thing is, the more you have to lose. And sometimes the people with the most stuff are the ones who hold on to it with the whitest knuckles. Because that's how much they have to lose. A guy who doesn't have much, he's like, oh, wait, I ain't got much anyway. What the heck? And these things own him. He is enslaved to that. He wants to be free. He wants to be right. He came running. He was earnest. He was desperate. But he's in bondage to something and he can't even put his hand on it. He is blind to the fact that these things have a chain on his heart. And Jesus says, sell it. Cut it off. It's keeping you from loving your neighbor as yourself. When you're surrounded by broken people who don't have and you have got it all, how can you love them when you keep it all for yourself? Sell it. Get rid of it. Sell the stuff. And you know, and he says you'll even have treasure in heaven. Sell the worldly stuff. Get the good stuff. In one of the saddest passages, I think, in the Bible, you can almost hear the angels groan when this happened. Verse 22, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I think when Jesus was talking to him, he knew this was a crisis moment. This was a critical time in this man's life. He was standing at the door to life. He would never get closer to salvation than that very moment. It was the opportune time for him to step through the door of life. He was standing on the very threshold of life. And Jesus knew, I believe, that if he walked away at that moment, he was probably walking to his doom, that he would perish. Because he would never be that close again. He was standing right in front of Jesus. And Jesus was reading his mail. We have those moments in our life. Those golden windows of opportunity. Maybe it's for salvation. Maybe it's for something else. But we need to be in tune with the times. We need to be with our finger on the pulse of what God is doing so we don't miss these incredible, priceless, precious windows of opportunity as they come up. And this man was standing on the brink of his eternal destiny. And he walked away. He walked away from life. The Bible says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not believe the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on him. He was walking straight into the flames as he walked away from Christ. How sad, how tragic, how absolutely tragic. He could have ruled and reigned with Christ. Yeah, he was a ruler of what? Some piece of desert out in Palestine? Oh boy. He could have ruled and reigned with God and become a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. He could have had treasure in heaven, but he couldn't see past the stuff of this world, the worthless trinkets of this world. He traded for eternity. And he didn't simply have great possessions, they had him. So what owns you? And there he goes, swing and a miss. Strike what? Strike three. And when the umpire says strike three, there's only one thing you can do. Walk away. And he walked away, back to the dugout. Oh. It's not that he would have earned his salvation by selling this stuff. You can't earn your salvation, can you? No. It's a free gift from God to those who humble themselves, repent from sin, and put their faith in Christ. It's not that he would have earned his salvation, but it would have been evidence that he had a change of heart. The fact that he sold it would have been proof that he really had a change inside, that he viewed the poor differently, that he viewed his riches differently, that they were no longer the ruler of his life. They were no longer the idol that he worshipped. Now he had a new Lord. would have been evidence of repentance and evidence of faith. To sell the stuff would have been repentance. To follow Christ would have been faith. That's how we get saved. Repent from sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. That is how we get saved. It's the free gift of God. When we turn from sin, we have a change of heart. Repentance means a change of mind or a change of heart. When we have a change of heart about our sin, we stop making excuses for it. We stop making justifications for it. We call it what it is and we say, God, save me from that.